We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos. The Beer Amigos.
Today on the Beer Amigos, Greenport Harbor Brewing Company's second anniversary party, Travis and Mike look into their podcast past and interview with Dan and Greg from Long Island Beer Company, a list of upcoming beer events, and much, much more.
Hey, this is Travis.
And this is Mike.
And we are
the Beer Amigos!
So what episode are we up to, Mike?
Episode 3.
Or up to Trace.
Episode
Man.
3, yeah.
Time is flying by.
It feels like we were only born yesterday.
Yeah, it feels like only like 2 months ago did we start our first podcast. I guess it was 2 months ago. Are you having a good summer, Mike?
I am so far. It's the very beginning of August as we record this episode, and so far so good. I can't really complain too much.
Can't complain.
I unfortunately haven't done too many trips or, you know, had too many adventures, but what about yourself?
Well, I'm working a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job now.
The grind.
And I actually think it's the greatest thing in the world because I'm able to take those trips and do those, as I like to say, extracurricular
activities.
Yeah, man, I've just been going to the beach and just spending time with my wife, eating good food, drinking good beer, and trying to relax as much as possible.
That's
and
funny, because that's like one of those things when you're younger, you're like, oh, F, I never want to work a 9-to-5
yeah,
job.
Exactly.
And then you're like, you like long for that. You're like, yes!
Exactly. Ten years ago, I'd be like, oh, dude, I'm going to be punk rock, and I'm just never going to work, and I'm going to live on the streets. And
I'm
like,
the dream!
Yeah. Now I have a 9-to-5 job, and it's like the biggest blessing.
Yeah, fair enough.
In the world.
What I know that you went to the Motley Crue and Poison show recently.
I went to Motley Crue and Poison, and you know what? This is the third episode, so we need to mention Todd Long's name, because I told him that we mention him in every single episode.
Episode 3, third and long?
Yeah, there
in preparation of football
there
season?
Go.
There you go, Todd. That's for you.
And Todd told me he was actually at that show, too. But it was awesome. I got to check out the New York Dolls, which are an old punk rock band who used to play, you know, venues, dirty punk rock venues like CBGB's back in the day. And they are one of those punk bands that influenced bands like Motley Crue and Poison. Because Motley Crue and Poison, you know, when they first started off, they had that, like, glam punk rock sensibility to their earlier tunes, and I guess that's why Motley Crue and Poison decided to take them off on tour with them. But it was great. It was like three drastically different bands. We had New York Dolls, who were just like rock and roll and punk rock. We had Poison, who's this, you know, glam, fun punk band. And then Motley Crue is just this, like, dirty sex, drugs, and rock and roll band. And it was a good time.
Trev, did CC pick up his guitar and talk to you?
CC picked up his guitar, and he talked to Travis from the Beer Amigos, and I raised a beer and said, thank you, very much, CC.
This one's for you, CC, with your platinum blonde hair.
And then Brett took off his wig.
Did Brett say, we both lie silent and still in the dead of the night? Did he sing that solo, or did he sing it with the...
Maybe we should get to some beer talk.
All right. We're having fun here, though, and that's the most important thing. So again, thanks for tuning in for episode 3.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. So, Mike, you went to the Hops for Hope event at the Cortland.
I did go to Hops for Hope on Thursday, July 21st. It was a great event to raise money for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. I know that Bobby mentioned the other day at the Long Island Beer and Malt Enthusiast meeting that they raised approximately $400 to donate, which is great.
Wonderful.
And he also mentioned that they were looking to do an event in the near future, approximately in September, with more information to follow on that. Trev, I know that you were fortunate enough to go to this while I was at work. Yeah.
The Greenport Harbor second anniversary party.
And that was on Sunday, July 24th.
Sunday, July 24th. Obviously, Greenport Harbor Brewing Company is obviously in Greenport, New York. I live in North Babylon, so I drove 130 round-trip miles for this party. And it was well worth it. It was great walking down the street, you know, heading towards Greenport Harbor. You just, you know, faintly hear the sound of this, like, rockabilly-esque type music, you know, and as you approach closer and closer, you said, there's a rockabilly band playing, this is pretty sweet. So, you know, we walk in, we pay a mere $10, which gave us 8 drink tickets, like, literally 8 drink tickets.
Sounds like a bargain to me.
It was an unbelievable bargain. They had a rockabilly band playing, they had old cars, you know, 50s cars on display. They had people hula hooping. There was people with Greenport Harbor tattoos on their faces as they were eating tacos and drinking beers. To say a party would be an understatement. It was really just a great time. So again, for $10, we were each given 8 drink tickets. And they had every single beer that they brewed in the past year on tap. One of the beers they brewed specifically for the anniversary party was their anniversary ale number 2, which was called Common Lager. And according to their website, they crafted it exclusively to commemorate their second year in existence. Greenport Harbor Brewing Company's anniversary number 2, Common Lager, is a California common, or steam beer. A lot of people are familiar with Anchor Steam. So it's a steam beer similar to that, but this was brewed with Breese malts and Northern Brewer hops, with characteristics of wood, warm bread, and pine. You know, I'm not too familiar with the California common, you know, steam beer type of brews, but this one was, you know, it was amber in color. I thought it was a bit sweet with a good smell of malts, and as their description said, you know, I definitely did taste, you know, the wood and that warm bread flavor to it. It was definitely smooth, and to me, at least, someone who's not too familiar with that style of beer, it was definitely a unique an exciting take on the steam lager. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. We're actually going to start rating beers, which we promised in episode 1. We breezed upon that, but
baby steps.
Yeah, but we're going to review our first beer right now and give some feedback about it, as Trav just did, but we're going to actually give it a rating. We're going to refer to it as a Pistol Pete. And we're going to rate on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the best.
And they're gunshots, right?
Yeah, we're gonna signify them by gunshots.
5 gunshots is the best. 1 gunshot is, you know, all right. So I guess, you know, again, for Greenport Harbor's anniversary ale, the California Common, again, not being too familiar with these steam beers, to compare them to other beers, if I'm just solely basing, you know, my review on having this brew and what I thought of it, I would definitely go with a good, solid 4 pistols.
So as we've previously mentioned, we are more than open to feedback and any ideas that you'd like to share with us, and you can reach us at thebeeramigos@gmail.com. That being said, someone took us up on this previous statement.
We've had one email so far,
one listener email, and I'll share it with you. Here it is. Hey, Travis and Mike. I've listened to both episodes and have thoroughly enjoyed them. You two are quite entertaining and seem real comfortable doing what you're doing. Have you two hosted podcasts in the past? Anyway, keep up the great work. I truly appreciate listening to you. Jennifer.
Wow, so she wants to know if we've actually worked on podcasts in the past. I think Mike and I actually have a deep, dark secret.
Skeleton in the closet! Yeah.
Should we play a little clip of the failed podcast?
We're going to dig it out, blow the dust off of it, and here it is, unfortunately. Right.
Mike's going to hate me for doing this, but I'm going to play it for you guys. Hey, I'm Travissimo.
And I'm Michelangelo.
And we are the Pizza Brothers.
We have an extremely exciting episode today, huh, Trav?
Yes, we do, Mike. Today we're going to talk about my all-time favorite pizza, the pepperoni pizza. And as most of you listeners know, a pepperoni is a spicy Italian-American variety of salami, usually made from cured pork and beef.
Yup, and the term pepperoni is a corruption of pepperoni, the plural of pepperoni, the Italian word for pepper.
And when you say pepper, Mike, it's important. Actually, not even just important, it's extremely important that our listeners know you're referring to the vegetable and not the spice.
Hey, fellow beer geeks, this is Dave from Bellport Cold Beer and Soda, and you are listening to The Beer Amigos.
And we are back.
Back.
We're back. So, needless to say, I think the Beer Amigos is going to be a much bigger success than the Pizza Brothers.
Yeah.
But hey, man, you know, everyone's got their past. You know, it's what led Mike and I to where we are today.
Yeah.
And today being Friday, August 5th. And actually, earlier today, Mike and I took a drive out to Riverhead, New York, to visit Long Island Beer Company. We went by to pay Greg and Dan a visit to check out their brewery and to check out their new tasting room, which just opened last week. We had a really incredible time hanging out with them. We had a great interview, and we're going to play that for you guys right now.
Enjoy. This is Beer Amigo Mike, and I'm here with Travis and Greg Martin and Dan Burke from the Long Island Beer Company, located at 817 Pulaski Road in Riverhead. Guys, so we came in to check out your new place. What's going on? You opened last Friday, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We decided like at 8 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday that we would be open Friday. So it was a frantic, you know, rush to get everything done. Of course, you know, not planning, just figuring, all right, let's do it. And people were coming in as we were still finishing up, getting the things, getting everything
cleaning
in place.
Toilets.
We were hoping the first six people didn't ask to use the bathroom because we didn't even finish cleaning it yet. So we were kind of just staving everybody off with beer samples, and it worked, you know.
By frantic rush to get open, do you mean a phone call to Greg to post on Facebook that, guys, we're opening tomorrow,
and we really want you to come in?
Yeah, that was about 10 o'clock at night on Thursday. I was getting texts like, dude, are you going to put it out? It's like, yeah, I'll get to it, man. And it's like,
you're like, we're talking about the post here, right?
Yeah, you know, but it worked.
Nice. So we spoke a little with Dan before we even started recording this, but he said they had approximately 200 people come in on the first day.
Maybe 150, 200 people. I don't know. We really didn't, you know, keep track of it, and it's not that important to us. I mean, it was just people that showed up just through, you know, whatever means they found out, whether it was through friends and family or through Facebook. We really just decided to be open. It wasn't, hey, you know, come down and look at us, look at how great we are. It was really just that, hey, okay, let's be open. We've, you know, got this room that's just about done. I mean, it's not perfect. It's not your living room, but it's our tasting room, and it'll probably always constantly be under construction. We'll always be doing different things in here, improving it until it probably gets perfect, and we'll probably go out of business about 3 days later.
So, pretty good turnout for the first weekend of being open, without really much announcing or advertising for it. We're currently standing in the tasting room. And the gentlemen have four beers on tap, the Celtic Ale, the Breakfast Stout, the Raspberry Wheat, and the Pale Ale. If you guys would be kind enough to kind of like give us a little insight as to each beer, that would be awesome.
Sure. The Celtic Ale, which is our flagship beer, that's the first product that we had put out. It's a traditional Irish style ale, 5.5% alcohol. It's a little bit sweet, very smooth, easy drinking. The second beer that we had, we've made all the other beers previously over the last 2 years, but we were always very limited as to our production and where we were producing them. So now we have the Pale Ale, which is full-time. That comes in at 6.2% alcohol. It's a blend of Cascade and Columbus hops to it. It's traditional American-style Pale Ale, pretty right on the cusp of being an IPA, so it's got a nice hop bite to it. The Breakfast Stout, which is 3.5% alcohol, which is a sweet stout that we blend some Kenyan coffee into. So it gives it that real cream and coffee kind of taste to it. And right now we have the Raspberry Wheat, which is our summer seasonal that's on, which is 5% alcohol. And it's a wheat beer that just has a little bit of raspberry tartness to it, not over the top, not too fruit juice-like. And then the next one will be out will be the fall seasonal, which will be the Pumpkin Ale.
Nice. I know that we're looking forward to the pumpkin, and pumpkin's really good gateway beer for people that aren't regularly beer drinkers. I feel like it's a great opportunity to expand people that drink your beer specifically. So Dan informed us that the summer seasonal, which is the raspberry wheat, you guys essentially have 10 kegs of it left, so it's the tail end of it. And he was also telling us that it's been, although you've been only open in the tasting room 4 days today, that it is been the most popular beer here thus far.
Yeah, definitely has, you know, which, you know, the raspberry is, you know, a lot of people don't like fruit in their beer, and we tried to make it kind of still a beer drinker's beer. But it's been really well received this year. So we're done brewing it for the season, and there's a couple kegs left, and when it's done, it's done. So
was that a surprise to both of you that raspberry has kind of been like received, or as people have been most intrigued by that and have really sought that out coming in?
I'm surprised that, you know, a lot of people come in. It's funny, a lot of the ladies will come in and they'll drink different beers and they'll drink the raspberry wheat and they'll go, oh, this girls will probably love this beer. But there's probably more men buying raspberry wheat growlers than there are ladies, you know.
Nice. I like it, and I'll admit that. I'll admit that here on the Beer Amigos.
I enjoy it.
I like
it,
the raspberry wheat.
You're kind of a chick, though. So let's be honest.
And you look like a chick with a mustache and beard.
I'm a bearded chick. Circus inquiries.
Those do exist.
You bastards. You bastards. All right, so we have a few questions for you, if you'd be kind enough to answer it. Considering that both of you started as homebrewers, merely experimenting, at what point of the process and your life did you decide to start Long Ireland Beer Company?
Greg and I brewed the first batch together in 2003, and it was really just, Greg had done like a Mr. Beer kit previous to that, and then started doing homebrewing, and I had an interest in it just out of, I like to take raw materials and make them into something. It's just kind of my nature, being, you know, previously a welder, a plumber, you know, a electrician's apprentice. So taking things that were, you know, these benign ingredients and making them into beer, which is obviously, you know, one of my favorite things. I like to see the process. I like to cook, you know, and to a degree it's the same as, you know, to me, you know, making chocolate chip cookies. You take, you know, your flour, your sugar, you know, your brown sugar, your butter, and chocolate chips, and you make them into this delicious thing at the end. But in the beginning, it was nothing. What was
for
the record,
yes, 6 foot.
Well, over 6 foot tall burly man talking about baking, but I'm the lady here.
The question was, at what juncture did you guys decide to start the Long Ireland Brewing Company? Where you're like, F this, we're doing this. Like, you're all
in.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, back to the root of the question, yeah. I've had a few beers, so I'm confused on where I'm going, and I tend to ramble. Yeah, no, not courage. It's liquid diarrhea. No, not diarrhea. Let's not use that word. It's,
diarrhea?
Just diarrhea of the mouth is what I meant to say. It was pretty much just our boss was a dick. You know, we worked for the same company, and we just didn't like the way that he treated us, the way that he treated other people. We were in a service industry. I worked for an oil burner service company. Greg was actually my boss at the time, and I was one of the lead mechanics, and we just didn't like the way that the company was treating people. We thought it was unfair. And, you know, back when we started writing the business plan in like 2005, there wasn't this whole craft beer movement. So it was really uncharted territory. You know, we were looking at and aspiring to guys like Blue Point, Southampton, on the island that were, you know, had already done it. And we were like, you know what, I'm 35 years old. I'd rather say I tried instead of I should have. Yeah. So, you know, it was a risk, you know, and gathering money to get this startup, it's very, very expensive.
Yeah, we didn't have any money to start out with. We're not, you know, we don't have, Dan and I, you know, we're just both blue collar guys, so we didn't have like a big savings account or anything like that, so.
So you legitimately put like everything you had like on the line behind this idea.
And then a lot of other people's stuff too.
Yeah. It was definitely it's definitely been sketchy at times where it's like, holy shit, we're down to the last couple of bucks. Yeah. You know what? But we're not in it for money. We really, if I can replace the oil burner mechanic salary that I had, work for myself. And really, the amount of hours I work now, I'm probably at like about $4 an hour, because it's like 7 days a week, at least 10 hours a day. Many times it's 16 hours a day. I'm a parent. I have two young kids, and I do my parenting like 20 minutes at a time. You know, it's 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night, and that's it. You know, and then as much time as I can get with them. But it's really, it's labor intensive, and to really make it and you know do what you want to do, it's expensive. It's a lot harder than people think.
Yeah, but much respect for like going after what you actually want to do, and you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I feel like if just in this brief amount of conversation we had so far, I feel like the mission statement of the Long Island Beer Company would be "Damn the man!" Like, go after what you want, and that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, our boss was a dick. So.
All right, next question. Where did the name?
It's probably a little more punk rock than it really sounds. You know, it's been as many calculated risks as we could take, because every risk costs you money, you know, so you have to really calculate it out. It really wasn't a completely, you know, throw caution to the wind. It was really like, let's try and figure out as many things as we can before they happen. But then after that, usually drinking fueled decision making goes after that.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you're always going to measure risk versus reward. But I mean, you said, like, one of the first things you said was your business plan. So obviously you went into it like with great intention. You weren't just like throwing it in the wind, like, all right, wherever this takes us, here goes nothing.
Stupid, but we're not that stupid.
We're also poor. That's why we had to have a business plan before we could take other people's money. It's very difficult to convince people who are not your drinking buddies that, hey, invest in my brewery. This is a great idea. You know, you really kind of have to show that, you know, it's not a party. It's just not a frat house. This is a business, you know. I tell people all the time, you know, brewery is a very romantic term. It's really a factory. Just like anything else, we manufacture our product here. And to stay in business, you know, I have to charge money for it. I have to do all these other things. You know, it's not just a, hey, let's make beer and give it away. That's a lot of fun, and you can make a lot of friends at it. But you know, LIPA doesn't care how cool my job is. They want, you know, where's my money at the end of the month?
Friends don't pay the bills. Kids, if you learn anything from listening to this show, friends don't pay the bills.
That's true.
All right. Next question is, where did the name Long Ireland come from?
I was very hungover the day after St. Patrick's Day in the shower, mid-shampoo.
Nice.
Were you eating a pickle?
I was not, but that's an odd question to ask another man.
There's no relevance. We weren't even...
Yeah, it's really weird while you're holding a mic in my... It's really weird while you're holding a mic in my face against me before I ate a pickle, by the way, just saying that. But,
I apologize deeply.
I was just... I had been out for St. Patrick's Day, and you know, we were already kind of in the brewery planning stage. Didn't have a name yet, and I was hungover. I was in the shower, and I had been to a bar on St. Patrick's Day that was, it had said, you know, like on the sign, I remember very foggily looking out of the passenger seat windows, and it said, "A fine Irish pub." And I remember when I left there was 50 Cent playing by the DJ on the radio. And I was thinking, that is the furthest thing from a fine Irish pub. But everybody likes to attach themselves to being Irish or Irish bars. And I grew up, you know, I am Irish. I grew up going to Irish festivals as a kid. My wife was an Irish step dancer for years. Grew up listening to Irish music. So, I don't know, I was just kind of trying to put, you know, a local like Long Island thing and Ireland thing together, and I was just kind of like talking out loud while I was in the shower, and it just two words kind of came together, and then I had told Dan about it like the next day, and he's like, "Yeah, I like that," and I was like, "Yeah, I don't think I do," and he's like, "No, let's go with that."
I like it because it made you say it twice.
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of like Long Ireland,
huh?
What? Yeah. You know, like Long Ireland, and once we had established the name, then it was the next step was I'm gonna forego your question here and interject my own disregard anything written down on that paper there. Alright, now I'm not. You threw your paper on the ground, forget it. Now I'm not gonna tell you.
Mike was dramatic for a moment.
I wanted the sound effect. That was
such a girl hissy fit he just threw.
You gotta grow that beard and mustache longer, Mike.
You know, give me those questions. I mean, I am drinking red for every week.
All right.
So where were we?
All right, I believe your
son was back to, it was our boss was a dick.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right,
question
so
number three.
Their boss was a dick. I believe your Celtic Ale was being brewed in Connecticut and Saratoga during the process of your new facility being completed. Are all your beers currently being brewed in your new facility, or are they still being brewed elsewhere?
Short answer is yes, everything that for the last month and a half now is being brewed on Long Island. But what it started out, our relationship as far as the professional side of brewing, we started out with a guy named Rob Leonard from New England Brewing Company. Greg went up there to Mohegan Sun and did a brewery tour with the guy, and he was kind of a one-man show at the time and said, hey, would you like some free help? And of course, no one turns that down. So we more or less started an internship with him. We were going up every 2 weeks to New England Brewing Company on our own money and learning the commercial side of it. You know, brewing 10 gallons at home and brewing 750 gallons at a time is a completely different animal. So we started out working for Rob, making his beer, eventually told him what our aspirations were of starting our own company, and said to him, hey, before we, you know, take the plunge here, we'd like to get licensed, you know, in New York, make our product here for a while, you know, and then bring it back there. We're not going to compete with you. You're in Connecticut. We're on the island. It's no conflict of interest. So we started brewing in Connecticut. And Greg and I would go up and more or less rent his brewery per week, you know, and we'd go up, we'd make a batch of beer, keg out what we had made 2 weeks before, bring it back here and distribute it. We bought a refrigerator, a box truck. That was the, you know, corporate office, which was parked in my driveway for the first 10 months or so. And, you know, that's how we got started. So it wasn't that somebody else was making the beer. We were doing it. We just didn't have the equipment to have our own. Again, it's very expensive, you know, kind of business to get into. There's a lot of infrastructure that you have to have before you can put any product out on the street. So that's really kind of how it started. And then once we were running out of Connecticut for about a year or so, we kind of outgrew them, and his business kind of turned around with the whole craft beer market interest again. And we started using Saratoga Springs upstate to contract while we were looking for equipment, trying to find, one of the biggest challenges we had was trying to find a proper building. There's a lot of issues that go on with that, between what you're gonna pay per square foot, you know, what you can do as far as in each town, being in a sewer district or not. So there's a lot of decisions that we had to make. That was by far one of the hardest things we had to overcome, was finding the correct building. And once we did find the building, it was, we were already up and running. We already had a customer base. We were running like two businesses concurrently, or three actually. It was the delivery side, because we self-distribute. The brewery side of it, where we're constantly out there, we have to constantly make new sales, you know, support the accounts that we have, and the construction of the brewery. So it's been quite a task to get to where we are, but luckily, through, I think, just interest in craft beer right now, we were able to make it this far.
And well, that was a long answer. They asked you what your favorite beer was.
It's funny. I'm trying to cut it down. I'm trying to cut down. Jesus Christ! I've been fucking talking for like 10 minutes.
You got lockjaw.
Yeah. And I didn't have a sip of beer that whole time. My mouth is like the fucking desert right now.
So you obviously had to find a place that was zoned correctly with adequate square footage for what you wanted to do. How big is this place exactly?
It's 8,800 square feet, which is more than we were looking at originally like 4,000 square feet. And we had looked at a lot of different buildings, like Dan was saying, and we could have been in this building a year earlier. We kept passing it by because it wasn't like the prototypical brewery we were looking for, with straight across ceiling heights and things like that. But Dan came in here one day and went up in the attic, and he's like, I think we could do this. And ended up ripping out all the ceilings and everything else and making it work. So
Nice. We're looking forward to getting in there after this. After we finish the interview.
Oh, son of a bitch.
There's the door. There's the door you came in. Now get the fuck out.
What kind of setup do you guys have currently? Like, how many fermentation tanks and stuff like that?
It's a JVNW. It's a 1989 JVNW system that was where its third home since 1989. We have 5 fermentation vessels, 2 bright tanks, a 4-head bottling line, which we have yet to put together, and it's basically like a 22-barrel brew house.
All right, we've enjoyed your beer on tap like many Long Islanders. Now that you have your own space, do you have any plans for bottling in the future?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Packaging is definitely something that we want to do. Part of the equipment that we purchased has a small bottling line. I think that I'll probably start out with some limited release type of specialty things. But yes, I definitely can foresee packaging in the future. I definitely look forward to doing that. And yeah.
Nice.
Super solid finish on that one, yeah.
And then if you and Greg were a tag team wrestling tandem, what would your name be?
Yeah, I'm not into team sports. I don't like to rely on anyone except for myself. And, you know, to give you the long-winded answer on this, because I know we're just filling up time here. People love the melodic sound of my voice. What was the question again? No, I don't like team sports, man. I never did. I like to rely on myself. And if I did something wrong, then it's my fault. And when you do something wrong, it's your fault.
Fair enough. So, that works.
So basically, if he was in a tag team wrestling tandem, he would never tag in Greg.
Yeah, he would just be the guy on the edge of the ropes, you know, like reaching over. And that's it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having us. We greatly appreciate your time. Yeah. So you can visit the Long Ireland Beer Company at 817 Pulaski Road in Riverhead, New York. Their tasting room schedule is Thursdays 3 to 7, Friday 3 to 7, and Saturday 1 to 6. You can visit them on longirelandbeer.com and friend them on Long Island Beer Company on Facebook or something of that nature. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Dan, we really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no sweat.
And thanks to Greg, who's currently giving a tour.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one.
Later.
This is Kevin from Tapped Enterprises, just reminding everybody to take the bus out to the North Fork Beer Festival. We have 2 buses, one going down the South Shore and one going down the Long Island Expressway. Check it out, tappedenterprises.com. We'll have snacks on the bus, and we'll be serving some home brews on the way home. Check it out, tappedenterprises.com.
As you guys can tell, we had a really good, enjoyable time with Dan and Greg down at Long Ireland, and we want to thank them again for granting us the interview.
Those guys are awesome. Solid day out east.
Those guys are A+. Mike and I were both really excited to try the Raspberry Wheat, one of their beers that we had never had before.
The Raspberry Wheat.
They're summer seasonal. So, Mike, give everyone some feedback on your experience with drinking the Raspberry Wheat.
Well, fruit wheat beers are, like, somewhat frowned upon by men. Typically. They're a great summer beer because they're meant to be refreshing, and who doesn't want to be refreshed when it's sweltering heat outside?
Especially when we're out, you know, mowing the lawn for our wives and girlfriends and hammering and chopping wood.
You know, doing man things.
Yeah, which is what we do a lot.
Not baking like Dan at the Long Island Brewing Company.
Yeah. Nothing but love, baby.
So yeah, the raspberry wheat was really enjoyable and refreshing, and you know, having driven out there, I'm not a big AC guy when I'm driving, so I'm windows down and
fresh air. Yep.
Yeah, when we walked in there, I think that's like the first or second beer we had, so I was rehydrated after that, and it's definitely something I would recommend to someone just looking to have a nice beer that they could drink on a summer day, not necessarily like pair with anything, just a nice refreshing beer with a sweet like tart finish.
Definitely, and I think their description of it just being, you know, light in body with just like that hint of raspberry, a little bit of sourness, I think is definitely dead on.
The gentleman told us that, as you know, as we mentioned in the interview, that it's the tail end of the season for that beer, and they're in the midst of transitioning into the pumpkin beer.
It's gonna be the first time for that.
So seasonal beers are usually sought out by craft beer drinkers. So we definitely wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
And if you look on our
on our Facebook page, you'll definitely see the handle that will be representing that. So yes, you'll know what to look for when you're at your local pub.
Yeah, exclusive look at the Long Ireland Pumpkin tap handle, which is pretty exciting. So, Mike, how many pistols would you give the Long Island Raspberry Wheat?
I'll give this beer 4 Pistol Pete's.
All right, so there's a bunch of upcoming events also that we want to mention to you guys.
First and foremost, the big show, Saturday, August 13th, the North Fork Craft Beer Festival at the Martha Clara Vineyard. For more information, you can visit northforkcraftbeerfestival.com, where you can buy tickets. The general admission ticket is $55, and that is from 2 to 6 p.m. The designated driver ticket is $15. You'll basically be in the position to have a bunch of beers that typically aren't at the same location that frequently. So meet some great people, have some great beers.
And we'll see you guys there.
Yeah,
also,
the Beer Amigos will be there. We look forward to it, absolutely.
Yes, please come say hi.
The next event is on Tuesday, August 16th. That's the Kelso Beer Dinner at the Lark in East Northport. It's at 6 p.m. and it's $55. Thursday, August 18th, the 2011 Annual Beer, Wine Tasting, and Food Pairing at Belport Country Club. That's from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and $35. Friday, August 19th, the Great South Bay Oyster Fest at TJ Finley's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, August 20th, Blue Point Brewing Company 13th Anniversary Celebration at the Blue Point Brewing Company at 3 p.m. and that's $39. Sunday, August 31st, Wine, Beer, and Oyster Festival with the Blue Point Brewing Company at the Jamesport Vineyards. That's from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. and $10, which includes your first drink.
And there's obviously a lot more events that people could check out at libeerevents.com.
A great source.
Great source.
For your local beer adventures.
Yes, for upcoming events. Again, we're looking forward to seeing all you guys at the North Fork Craft Beer Festival on Saturday, and it's going to be a blast. We're going to be there. We're going to possibly be wearing something that cannot go unnoticed. Is that correct?
An identifying mark?
An identifying mark. That is an accurate description, Mike.
Nice.
I dig that.
If you, too, would like to be mentioned on the Beer Amigos, as Jennifer was for her reader, for her feedback, her listener feedback,
yeah,
please get in touch with us at thebeeramigos@gmail.com. You can communicate with us on Facebook at The Beer Amigos. And Trav, do you have anything else you'd like to share?
I'm having a great time doing this with Mike, doing The Beer Amigos, and I just really want to say thank you to everyone who's been listening. The response has been great, and we're just looking forward to really just continuing to share our love for local craft beer.
Thanks for the support. We look forward to doing episode 4 and seeing your smiling faces next weekend
at the North Fork Craft Beer Festival.
Until we meet again, adios, amigos! Thanks for listening.
Woo!
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. The Beer Amigos.